Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Tonight I want to, the few moments we've got, and how good were Charlie and Declan, my goodness, that was, they're starting to steal my message, and I'm like crossing all these notes out, going, they've covered that. But I want to reiterate a couple of things that they've said, and maybe steal maybe a thought even. Who was in this morning's church service? How phenomenal was Pastor Andrew's message on prayer? If you didn't get it, can I encourage you, get the podcast, or if someone's got notes, steal them from them. It was such a word in season about the prayer of faith and persistent prayer. And I want to kind of just take a snapshot of that. I want to talk about the power of bold prayer in our life. And two keys that are going to help to unlock a new dimension of bold prayer in our life. Here's my conviction. When it comes to prayer and God in your prayer life, your prayer life is only as powerful and as meaningful as how we see ourselves before God. Okay? The more I see me the way He sees me, the more powerful your prayer life will become. The more I see myself through the lens by which He sees me, the more confident you come before God. The more persistent you come before God, because you know who you are in Him. So I want to unpack a couple of ideas around seeing ourselves the way God sees us, which will bring us into a new realm of boldness in Him. I want to take maybe a couple of lessons from a great man of God called Moses, and a couple of things that took him from a man not knowing God to being called the very friend of God tonight. What did he do? How did he make that journey in his prayer life? Well, the first idea was simply this, and I mentioned a minute ago, bold prayer comes from clear identity. Bold prayer always comes from clear identity. Now, if we go back and I give you a quick snapshot of Moses, Moses was basically an adopted son of a king, son of a pharaoh. He was raised in Egypt. He becomes a man, and he realizes through that process that his people were being oppressed. His people were being beaten and abused. And one day he sees one of his brothers being beaten by one of the guards. And in a moment of anger, he turns and he slays the guard. And in that moment, it changes his destiny forever. And he runs from the house of Pharaoh and he runs out into the wilderness, probably thinking he's never going to come back. And he spends many, many years out there and he turns into a shepherd. And something happens that would change his life forever when he was a shepherd. And if you got your Bible there tonight, I'm opening up to Exodus 3, verse 1 to 4. And it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush did not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am." Somebody say, here I am. Yeah. A couple of verses after this, God basically, after he has this burning bush encounter, he says, "I've got a plan and I want you to be part of my plan, Moses." He says, "I'm going to send you back to the place from which you came." And he says, "I'm going to make you a great deliverer for me." This is the first moment where he has an encounter with identity. He said, "You're no longer just going to be a sheep herder." He said, "You're going to be a great deliverer for my plans and purposes for your life." Now I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing the sheep thing. The next minute I see a burning bush. I hear a voice coming out of the bush. I see the angel of the Lord. Don't you reckon you go, "Sure, God, I'm convinced." I'm like, "Yep, that, I've got my identity. I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do." What does Moses say to God in verse 11? "But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And then he starts a whole heap of excuses. What happens if they don't believe me? What happens if they don't know who you are? He begins this almost like this formation of his identity, right? And my question to you tonight is, why do we struggle with who we are at times? Why do we struggle with being bold before God? Why do we struggle with identity? Well, I'm going to come back to Moses. I want you to jump way back and see one of the root causes of why we struggle with boldness in prayer or identity in God. Genesis 3, if you're there, or jump with me, Genesis 3. Genesis 3, 6 and 7. Now, the context here, of course, is God creates man. He puts him in a garden and he has unhindered, complete, intimate connection with them. It says that God walked through the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. And he said, oh, by the way, just don't touch that tree over there for a lot of different reasons. Just don't touch the tree. But they've got unbroken fellowship, deity and man, God and man having powerful, close, intimate fellowship, walking with God. And in verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. They realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You know that word, their eyes? You know what it means? It means in that moment, they actually, not just physically, but it says mentally and spiritually, they underwent an identity shift. One moment, they've got beautiful, unbroken fellowship with Almighty God in the cool of the day. And the next minute, they're running from God, their creator. It's like, wow, what happened? In that moment, their identity shifted. In that moment, there was, yes, there was sin and there was a broken relationship. But here's what happened. They saw how they saw themselves differently to how God saw them. And they said, I'm exposed. And so I'm now going to cover myself and I'm going to hide myself, right? Can you relate to that sometimes? Sometimes we do something and it maybe let God down or we said something, we did something and we do the Adam and Eve thing and we feel ourselves maybe I can't come to God because of unworthiness or I can't come to God boldly because I feel condemned or I can't come to God because I feel guilty or ashamed of what I've done. But notice what God says. He says to Adam, where are you? He goes walking in the garden. And he says, where are you? You need to know tonight, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've done, God is saying to you still tonight, where are you? I'm coming after you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want you to be bold in my presence. I want to tell you tonight, church, there is nothing that you can say, there is nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he's saying to somebody tonight, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've said. I'm saying, where are you? And he's hunting you down tonight because there's nothing that can separate you from him. And Adam says, well, I ran because I was naked. God's such a great question asker, isn't he? He says this, who said you were naked? Wow. Who said you were naked? You know what? I want to tell you tonight, we're living in a world that wants to tell us who we are. You and I are living in a world that wants to tell you who you are and what you should be and how you should think. For Adam and Eve, they had this idea of nakedness, or I could probably use the modern term, a sense of insecurity and uncertainty about who I was. But you know, if we listen to the world, church, if we listen to what they're saying, it only leads to insecurity and uncertainty about ourselves. You know, this is amazing device. Has everyone got a smartphone tonight? Just give me a wave. Just wave your phone at me. Yeah, just about every single person here has got one of these. And they're kind of amazing, aren't they? But you know how I see this sometimes? They're incredibly beneficial. But you know what? Sometimes this can be what I call an identity shaper. An identity shaper. Because there's all kinds of apps. There's all kinds of platforms in here. And when you get into it, you know what? They'll tell you how you need to dress. They'll tell you how you need to think. They'll tell you how you need to feel. They'll tell you who you need to hang out with and who you shouldn't hang out with. And they'll tell you the cool crowd that you should be in and the people that you shouldn't be hanging with. And they'll even tell you how you should see yourself. The lens by which you need to be. But you know what, tonight, every young person here, I want to issue you a mandate tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe for every hour that you spend on here, which is cool, why don't you, just for 2 or 3 minutes, for every hour that you spend on here, why don't you jump on a different app? Why don't you jump on a different book? Why don't you jump into a different truth? And it's an identity shaper. It's called the Word of God. And if you will get that identity shaper into you for every hour that you might be on your phone, I want to tell you, you know what? You won't leave feeling shame. You won't leave feeling guilty. You won't leave feeling insecure. It'll create a new identity shape on the inside of you, which says, I don't have to dress that way. I don't have to think that way. I don't have to move with that crowd, because it says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that means I can have boldly, and this thing won't make you insecure. But if you will let the book do the work, it'll reshape who you see yourself before the Father heart of God. And you know what will happen? Man, I want to so encourage young people here tonight. You know what will happen if you'll do that? I believe this is the generation that can reshape the identity of every young person out there. I believe if you can get a hold of this idea of identity, you will start to reshape the identity of a generation that's lost their identity, has maybe lost purpose, has lost focus because they've let this thing reshape them. I'm going to tell you, you are the generation that is going to reshape them back into a God image, back into a God view. And I believe that's your mandate tonight. Amen. I'm feeling a bit bold. Isn't it good? You are there to reshape their identity, because God's reshaping yours. Because out of that, man, the prayer becomes so bold. Now back to Moses. God begins to shape his identity. He begins to see who he is as this deliverer. And here's what I discover. When you discover how God sees your identity, identity always leads to intimacy or closeness with God, if I could use that term correctly. Identity leads to boldness. Boldness leads to identity. But I tell you what, there's a boldness that comes out of intimate fellowship with God. Moses goes from, God, who are you? And who am I? Now watch the transformation in Moses' life. In Exodus 33:11, it just gives a snapshot of the transformation. It says, well, who had Moses become? This insecure shepherd man. And in Exodus 33:11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. I love what Declan said about building a relationship with God. In Numbers 12:6-8, it says this. It says, when there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. No. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He actually sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? But my point being is, Moses has gone from saying, who are you and who am I, to having what I call face-to-face moments with God. I call it the prayer of fellowship, or the prayer of close encounter with God. You see, the children of Israel, they knew the hand of God. God deliver us. God meet our need. God bless us. God protect us. And God loves to do that, church. He wants you to ask. He wants you to seek. He wants you to find. But coupled with that is this idea of actually knowing him for who he is, not just what he can do for us. And I found the most transformational moments in my life is where I went from transactional to relational. He wants to do that for you. But there's a deeper realm. You know, Paul said it so well. He said, I've had a lot of success in my life. I've done a lot of amazing things. But he said, one thing I'm after. He said, one thing I want. He just said this, that I may know him. I mean, know him. What does that mean? It means, yeah, you come with your needs. Yes, you come with your longings. Yes, you come with those things. But I want to encourage you, church. There's a realm and dimension of prayer, but it's not seeking, but it's engaging. It's pouring your heart out to God. It's not necessarily, God, I want anything from you in the next 10 minutes, but I want to do the Moses face-to-face thing. I want to encounter you personally. And I get nervous, because when I say that, we say, yeah, have a relationship with Jesus. But I'm talking about, imagine if he was like rocking up into your room and you were actually relating to him as a friend. Like, wouldn't that be amazing? It'd be so amazing. And we know in Revelation 3:20, it's a well-known verse, isn't it? It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and he'll dine with me and he with me. Now, there's two parts to this. There's the knocking and the entering. And everybody needs to do that. And if you haven't done that, in a few minutes' time, I'm going to give you an opportunity to open the door of your heart to experience a real life encounter with Jesus Christ. But you know what's the second part that I find is just as powerful? It says he'll come in. I want to come into your heart and I want to dine. Have you ever had a good meal with somebody? Maybe you went out for dinner or you had them over and there's laughter and there's fun and there's jostling and maybe there's moments of openness and you're having a dig at each other and there's transparency and there's honesty. And it's like Jesus says, I want all of that. Not just the Jesus, this is what you can do for me. But there's like this beautiful, intimate engagement back and forward with the Father heart of God. When we discover that, I want to tell you, there is a boldness that comes with that. Because it's not just something that he gives to me, but it's who he is to me. And I want to tell you, when you do that, the shame goes, the guilt goes, the nakedness goes, the insecurity goes, the fear goes. I want to tell you, because of Jesus Christ, church, when he died on that cross and rose again, you know what I discovered? It says he gave you back everything that Adam and Eve lost. The Bible says that they felt nakedness, but you know what the promise of God for you tonight is? He clothes you with a cloak of righteousness. He clothes you with a sense of security in him. He clothes you and says, I don't care what you did or what you said. It says, you can come boldly to me because I see you as righteous. And I remember the day I was about 18 years of age, and I remember the first time I got that as a personal revelation in my heart. And I was just reading my Bible and I was praying in my room, and the Bible verse said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it literally stopped me in my tracks. And when I studied it, it simply means this: did you know that you are completely right before God as if you've never sinned? As if you've never sinned. Can you imagine feeling the sense of confidence to God is saying, it's as if today I've never sinned. I've never done wrong. He says, that's how I see you every time you come to me. That's how I want you to come to me every time you begin a dialogue with me. I want you to come to me boldly to the throne of grace. I want you to let go of the guilt and the shame and the condemnation because it went under the blood of Jesus. And he says, I want you to be brave. I want you to be confident, not in your own goodness, not because you went to church twice, not because you read the Bible 10 times, not because you did this or that. He said, none of that matters. He says, I want you to come in a cloak of righteousness because righteousness will give you boldness before the Father heart of God. It's a fellowship. It's an intimacy with him. Paul said to know him, you know, as I finish. The transformation of Moses took place over a number of years, but there was a moment where God was really angry with his people, right? They'd done something pretty nasty. They'd created a golden calf and they've worshipped it. So picture Moses up on this amazing mountain, having this intimate relationship and connection and moment with God. And the people are down there and they're worshipping idols and they're dancing around and partying, and God says, Moses, this is pretty awesome, but that's breaking my heart down there. And he says, I want to destroy my people. I want to wipe them out and I want to start again. And because of that intimate relationship that he had, that face-to-face connection, it says, Moses said to God, God, these are your people who you brought out of the land of oppression. And he said this, God, you will not do that. And in that moment, it says, and God repented of the thing that he was going to do. Can you imagine changing the heart of God? Can you imagine changing the mind of God? Can you imagine being so bold that you can say, God, this situation that I've had, I'm not giving up. I'm not letting down because you said in your word, by your stripes, I was healed. Lord, I'm going to let this guilt and shame and condemnation go because you said I was righteous. It's the same kind of attitude. It's the same kind of conviction. It's the same kind of revelation that God wants you and I to have with him. He changed the mind and the heart of God because of this intimacy that he had. Well, Tony, how do I do it? I just want to give you three really simple, quick tips. First of all, it's okay to get really personal with God. It's okay to get really personal with God. What does that mean? Well, practically, go to a quiet place, shut the door, turn your phone off. Why don't you just begin to share your heart? Share your dreams. Share your fears. Share your insecurities. Share the things you're proud of. And you will start a dialogue with the God of heaven. Number two, praise Him for what He's done in your life. Praising God. Just in a quiet moment and shut the door in your room, you'll find faith starts to come alive. Because you think, if He did that in the past, He can do it again in my present, and He's going to prepare me for my future. Praising God, just quiet moments of reverence with Him, saying, God, You're so good to me. God, You're so faithful to me. God, I just worship You right now. As you do that, I tell you, the room will fill with the presence of God. It will fill with the goodness of God. And the third thing, always search your heart. God, is there anything that's unpleasing in my heart? Is there anything that's blocking this closeness with You? And you may turn the light on by the Holy Spirit, and you may just start to see some things that you can just start to work on. He doesn't have a big stick. He's a God that wants to shift and change and bring you freedom. Amen. As you do that, you're talking to Him. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. It's a two-way conversation. Share your heart. Share your dreams. Praise Him for what He's done. See what's in your heart that may be blocking that powerful, intimate connection. You know what you'll find? That closeness leads to great confidence. A great confidence. And when you have confidence, I want to tell you, you will pray bold. Because you know who you are with the Father and in the Father. You will see yourself so differently. And the last idea is this. The Bible says, you know what pleases the heart of God the most? It's in Hebrews 10. It says this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That you can obtain whatever it is that you need. Not timidly, not quietly, not walking on eggshells. But God says, I want you to come boldly to my throne. Ask me because I know who you are. You're my child. You are justified. You're glorified. You are secure in me. When you do that, I tell you what, you become bold with God and you'll see a shift in your life. You'll see answers to prayer you never thought would happen because of this boldness that comes on your life.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.